Welcome to the Sneaker Podcast, a show where a bunch of guys sit around a table to talk life, lifestyle, music, and all things sneakers. So sit back, turn it up, and let's go.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Sneaker Podcast. This is Season 2, Episode 37. Wow, we are getting up there. I'm ID alongside my boy, Christopher Chu. What up, Chris?
Yo.
We also got our boy, Alex, in the house. What up, Alex?
What up, guys? It's your boy.
And
sorry,
our boy.
It's Alex in his house.
Sorry. Alex is in his house. We are broadcasting right now live from the Adidas Original Store, fully renovated, and it looks so good.
Yes.
Alex, you've done an outstanding job, my friend. And since we are in your house, I think you should introduce our very special guest that we have. We have two special guests.
Two very special guests tonight in the place to be. We're so, like the boy said, we're currently recording from the activation room that we have. It's like kind of a private lounge area that we'll have in the back of the store for organizing events and activations with creators. So we're actually so happy to be able to do that first activation and recording live from the room. It's super cozy, very comfortable. There's like couches and neons and plants and graffitis, and like it's, anyway, it's super good. And for the occasion of my opening, one of my super good friends and counterparts from Vancouver, Paul Simon, showed up representing Vancouver Originals. What up, Paul?
What's up, everybody?
Paul's finally here, everyone.
So Paul showed up the beginning of this week, and he's been talking so much with our other guests that he lost his voice. So Paul usually doesn't sound that sexy, but he's pretty. I mean, he tried all day to work on his like.
Extra sexy. Yes.
You sound good, man.
It's good because we've been talking about getting Paul on the podcast. And the option of having him on the phone was always there. Yeah. But the man wanted to be in person next to us while we did this. So, happened.
Patience is a virtue. So we were glad to be able to have him tonight.
Let me tell you, it's so magical to be here. I am
awesome.
I'm shaking. I'm so nervous.
Don't be nervous.
And very, very special guest coming all the way from Brooklyn, New York. Our good buddy from the Brooklyn Farm and Adidas Originals.
Yes.
Mon bon ami, mon poulet, Jean Calif, joins us tonight.
Oui. Hey, guys.
Yo.
So, Jean, for the people that don't know, Jean, you can find him on Instagram at John Kaiser Knight. We teased it last week. Very, very last minute decision. Like, we tried our very best to make it happen. And then a little back and forth between all of us. And then for some reason, Jean decided to stay. So, Jean was supposed to be actually sitting in the plane probably right now. And yes, actually right now. But Adidas Canada decided to keep him around for a couple more days, so that's super cool. And so we're super glad to have you guys.
Yeah, man. It's my pleasure to be here too, you know.
It's gonna be a lot of fun.
Yeah. This is really cool. It's really cool that we sit in the back of the activation room in a brand new
store. Super laid out.
This is so chill.
Yeah. If you haven't gotten it yet, it's gonna be Adidas heavy. For this episode.
Very heavy.
And we're very happy that it's going to be Adidas heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the amount of knowledge that's flowing right here between these three dudes is like incredible.
There's
like if
energy.
They get too close to each other, there's like a force
spark,
field that
creates,
and me and Mike got to get pushed off.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Some Star Wars shit.
So for the record, we're missing Chloe, but Chloe is actually on his way. He's probably just stuck somewhere in traffic, but he will be joining us at some point. Expect a quick cut in the editing.
Yeah.
But
they won't notice the thing.
No, they won't.
He'll just be here.
It's the magic of podcasting.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
So,
but let's start the podcast like we always do, and that's with what we wore on feet today. Jean-Calif, I'm looking at you, my dude. What did you wear on feet today?
So it's my first time in Canada, and it's also then my first time in Montreal. And I wasn't into overthinking too much. I'm wearing a pair of Adidas Montreal.
Amazing.
It just makes sense to me, right?
Yeah, it does make sense, right?
It's just a good way to celebrate, you know, like the new store and all the effort putting into that. Like, that space is phenomenal.
It's so nice.
Yeah.
It's so nice. I think Montreal really needed a... I'd like to say the store needed a little fix-up.
Yeah, no,
it
totally
looks good.
It was about time, man. The store was open since 2007, the 25th of July 2007, if I'm not mistaken.
So it's like 10 years.
It's 10 years, man. 10 years of like high traffic, St. Catherine, downtown Montreal. Like, this store had a lot of wear, so it was time for a little refresh. I think this revamp is absolutely beautiful, gorgeous, and the result is
it's breathtaking.
Stunning.
Yeah, it's really, really nice.
And that back room looks amazing. I wish my living room would look like that.
Right? Super Pinterest. It's amazing.
So before you leave tonight, Alex, check the walls to make sure Jean didn't take anything for his home. Yeah. You know,
we're missing a poo for a plant or something.
The trifoil. Like
he's going to try and steal my trifoil neon.
Went to Canada. All I got was this trifoil.
Paul, what did you wear on feet today?
Oh, man. I had to represent Vancouver, so I busted out my Wings and Horns Pro Model 80s.
Amazing.
Nice. Current season.
Very nice.
Current season.
So Paul had storied his like ripping of the tag off the shoes this morning. Was it this morning?
This
morning.
The pop.
And I was like, whoa, you picked them up here? Yeah, like in Montreal? And he's like, no.
No.
I packed them in my bag, tag attached, with the full... intention of popping that tag, and it's legit. Every time I post that, it's the day of I'm wearing that shoe. So
very nice.
Yeah,
there's probably a lot of popping. We'll get to know Paul a bit more, but Paul is just say that he's an enthusiast of our product at Adidas.
Very much so.
Popping master.
Popping master.
Yeah, I like that.
I'll take that.
Poppin' rock master.
Poppin' rock. Nice. Yeah. Chris, what you wearing on feet today?
Today I'm wearing a special pair of Gazelle.
Ooh.
Why are they special? One, because I got them from our main man, Paul, that's sitting right here.
Yeah, buddy.
And secondly, because the man that's responsible for the reissue of this shoe is sitting to my left, Jean.
It's teamwork.
Collaboration between these two to make sure that I'm like properly laced.
High five.
Double win.
Yeah. So perfect shoe. And of course, it is like forest green.
Yeah.
And you guys know how much I love the green.
You're a man of taste.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Right back at you.
Yeah. They look so good.
It's perfect. Perfect shoe for this occasion. And I'm very happy.
Nice. Awesome. Very cool.
Alex.
I came in wearing a special pair of shoes. I was able to I was able to put my hands on those semi frozen yellow Yeezys.
The Mac Poulets
with that gum sole. So I came in wearing those, but then I had to switch up to some current clothing, assortment from what we have in the store, because we ran a little like panel discussion, which I'm sure we're gonna talk about in a couple minutes. So I'm wearing today F1.4. Is that it, John?
I think it is. That,
it is.
Yeah.
F1.4. Could you explain to the people what like how the name came out to be?
I have no idea.
No idea.
No, I will tell you.
All right.
It's a pretty long story.
Like, what?
You know, it's like sometimes you design a shoe with a specific intention, and then you get to synchro with legal and communication to clear out names. And AF doesn't stand for Air Force. And it's more like paying tribute to... I'm not a massive technician into photography, but it was more about, you know, the lens and the focal. And it kind of get tied back to that because those shoes came out with the storytelling of a urban photographer and everything. And it's like this sort of urban jungle vibes.
Nice.
That's the reason why they are called this way.
That's so freaking cool.
My face is like pure awe right now. Yeah. Nice. Like the explanation of the name
floor there, Chris.
Amazing.
That's awesome. So very happy about those. I'm wearing the triple white pair. It has some very, very cool Dillinger web kind of inspiration on the midsole. 3M hits on the laces. Overall, it has to be like one of the most comfortable shoe I've worn in a while.
Well, that's good to hear.
Very honest. Cool.
Yeah. Thanks.
Because I've been having a lot of some very long days those past 2 weeks. Hence why I was not at the pod last week. So I've been wearing a lot of Boost because it was like a sure shot, you know. But to put those on today was a really good feeling. Plus, they look phenomenal with pretty much whatever
they look so
I'm
nice.
Going to be wearing. So very happy to have those now in my rotation. They'll definitely get some wear before the winter. because I don't believe they're Canada proof, right? I think they have like some sort of like winter coat, so they
There is the Sympatex lining inside that's kind of keep you warm and you know, like dry.
Yeah,
but it's still prime knit to the outside. Yes. You know, so
the snow will get to it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, what's not to like?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
No, but they're awesome. So, and yep. What about you, Mike?
Today I wore a pair of OG Ultra Boost. It's kind of been an Adidas week leading up to the opening of the store. So I think I was doing a little pay tribute. Nice. And wear a pair of Adidas every day. So today was the OG Ultra Boost, and I couldn't Sweet. Be happier. But you know what? I think I'm getting to the point where with these things that I'm going to have to put them away for a while and only break them out once in a while because the outsole is starting to get eaten up and they're just getting old.
They look good.
They do look good. They look good. Starting to yellow up. I like that.
We're going to look into some options to, like, maybe add some rubber on the bottom.
Yeah, there we go.
I don't know. Swap. We'll figure something out.
Soul swap, maybe. We'll think about it.
And so I think we got not really ahead of ourselves, but maybe for those who don't know or who would like to get more info, maybe Paul could kind of tell the people what he does
sure.
with Adidas and all.
Tell the people.
Yeah. Do you want some background story?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Okay.
You were born where?
I'm born and raised in Vancouver. Yeah, this is my first time in Montreal. This is the furthest east in Canada I've ever been. So thank you for having me, Montreal, and Alex and all you guys. This is a beautiful city. I'm just psyched to be here. I came up skateboarding and snowboarding, so that's my background, and a lot of my sneaker preferences kind of lean towards that. I started with Adidas. We opened the first inline store in Canada. It's the original store in Vancouver was the first original store in Canada, believe it or not. So I started with them way back then in 2005, and prior to working for Adidas,
careful.
Prior to that, I'd worked in like skate snowboard industry, so that's where my background is. I competed in snowboarding in the 90s until the injury kind of ended my career in that. But then I got into manufacturing, then I got into retail, and that led me into sneakers. So part of the whole kind of skateboard background is your sneakers get destroyed, right? Like you skate a shoe. I find kind of when I skate too, I'd get sick of skating a shoe for too long, so I'd try extra hard to destroy it so I could throw it up and move on to the new pair.
Nice.
So that's kind of, I don't know, my background is that kind of beautiful decay of things and stuff, but I still love running shoes and stuff. That's a whole other story. But anyway, I started with Adidas in 2005, started as assistant manager in the original store in Vancouver, and then kind of worked up to store manager, multi-store manager, and now I run just the original store now, and I'm an area trainer, so I kind of help train management in all the other stores in my district, which is Western Canada.
Very cool.
Sick.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you're a busy man.
Very busy, and I've had the very good fortune to get to travel quite a bit this year, like my brother from another mother, Alex, has.
Yes.
We've had amazing opportunity to visit different markets like Los Angeles, New York, here, Montreal, Toronto, all over the
trying
place.
Trying to book that Vancouver ticket. That's
very
nice.
Everyone needs to come to Vancouver. Like, everyone shows such great hospitality to me everywhere I go. I want to repay the favor. So not just to bring you to my city, but I just want to host people and stuff.
Yeah, that's
and
cool. So, and anyone that's visiting Vancouver, the western part of Canada, should always stop by Adidas
Definitely.
Originals and say hi to Paul.
For sure.
And your staff.
Definitely. My staff are... Like Alex, I'm sure we both pride ourselves in hiring people who are fans of the brand and are just generally interesting people with interesting passions.
Absolutely.
And I think if you come to my store on any given day and talk to anyone, you'll
get
find
that sense of
something
passion.
Interesting. Yeah.
So just a funny story. Our good friend Calby that we always mention on the podcast, he's in Calgary. He's actually visiting Vancouver right now. And just yesterday, two days ago, he texted me saying, "Hey, I went to the Adidas store. I met a guy named Aaron."
Yeah.
And Aaron recognized his hat. He goes, "Hey, that's Canada Got Soul hat."
Yeah.
Kennedy Otsol Jean is our friends in Toronto that have a blog as well. And they produce some hats with New Era. And so Calby, our friend from Calgary, went to Vancouver, got the hat, gets recognized. Aaron, who's a guy that we all know from Paul's
store.
Shout
out to Aaron.
Yeah.
Shout out to Aaron. Recognizes Calby, and then everything starts clicking. You're Calby from the podcast. Yeah. And Calby's like, oh, yeah. And then ding, 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 ding.
Small
everyone starts getting
crazy.
Right. It's like very small world. So it's like it's amazing.
Super small. Shout out to Calby, too, because he messaged me and said, I'm going to be in Vancouver the 19th to 23rd. I'm like, I'm going to be in Montreal this exact same day. Like, sorry, fam.
Yeah.
Maybe
but,
next time.
Sorry I missed you, but I hope he definitely comes back. Because, I mean, it's any chance I have to host people in my city and show them around is I jump at that chance. Because, I mean, everyone loves where they're from, and you just want to show it off. And you want to show people the best time when they're in your city. Yeah, so. Absolutely.
Yeah. Or maybe, Paul, you should come back to Montreal. Or maybe it's Toronto when we're going to have our next
Brag Summit.
Yeah.
The Brag Summit.
I will definitely be there.
The Brag Summit is kind of like when all the sneaker social media guys that we're all friends with, we get together in one of the cities in Canada and we just hang out.
Yeah. Jean, you're invited next time too. Yeah. For sure.
I wish I could join. Just let me know and I do my best. Yeah.
Or maybe we go to Brooklyn.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Sneaker Summit in New York City.
That
like
doesn't make sense.
No.
That's why it's so cool. It doesn't make sense.
And let's see. So, Jean, maybe you could now tell the people what you do.
A little background.
Just a small background.
Fill us in.
Yeah.
So, okay, I try to be fast.
We know it's a long...
It was a 30-minute discussion this morning.
Yeah.
So, my name is Jean. I'm French. And I used to work for Adidas Originals for almost 3 years now on inline products. And a few months ago, I got the amazing opportunity to move over to the Brooklyn Farm, which is more our creative studio, which is all about concept, creating the future about all the sport equipment for all our performance business units within the entire Adidas group. And I joined like Mark Dolce, Dennis Dekovic, and Mark Miner that are amazing characters, and it's amazing to evolve and get to learn from those fellas. So it's pretty new for me. I moved 6 months ago over there, and it's been so far so good. Yeah,
it must have been I know we've discussed about this morning, but such a clash for you, not only to step from Originals into Innovation Performance, but also leaving your home court of Europe and then
setting my car. That was the most painful. That was way different. The market is different, mentality is different. It's more performance oriented, as you said, than style. My heart has always being with Adidas Originals. I grew up close to the German border in the east of France, so I used to wear a lot of Adidas when I was a kid. So it was kind of an organic move to get a chance to work for the brand for 3 years, but it was three amazing years and intense years, and I feel like the few projects I've been involved in were, amazing, and the team there are friends, and it's like good brother in arms.
Yes.
So I miss them a lot. Yeah, also,
I bet. For some of our listeners, so we've mentioned Gazelle. Can you kind of like maybe name drop some of the franchises and sneakers you've worked on?
So Gazelle was the very first season. It was like Christmas for me to bring it back and be involved in the relaunch of that. NMDs was a big chapter for me, like learning curves, like exponential, boost, prime knit. You get to learn a lot, how to deal with those key technologies. The team was very supportive. It was amazing to get to be a part of it. Atrix, like the boots and the trail runner that just came out this year, that was also a good moment for me. And then, of course, I'm an archive freak. So, everything that is like the Montreal that will come up in the upcoming weeks in December, the handball top that just got released a month ago.
Yeah. That did very well, by the way. Like, the shoe was like,
I don't know if it's...
I can't find
it. I can't find it.
It's sleep like ahead of the year. I can't find sure.
any. Yeah. It's terrifying because... I mean, it's terrifying good in a sense because it's a shoe that Chris, one of my good friends from Germany and product manager, and I wanted to bring back. And it offers something new in the archives range. It's a bit different than a classic Samba or Gazelle. It just new. It speaks more indoor. And I remember that it was kind of a controversial shoe to bring back because some people weren't so into it. And at the end of the day, it just blew up. And it's a little victory for Chris and I on that aspect. And I'm, you know, it's frustrating when I hear people that couldn't get a pair, but also the North American market is so different. Sometimes you just don't book it and the rest of the world has it. Yeah. So it's also something to deal with, I guess.
So sad we didn't get any in Canada. We are so sad. And we tried our very best to get that, like even as employees or just as a regular enthusiast about the product. Like I tried so hard to get my hands on them through American friends in New York, the website. Pretty sure I asked you once or twice too.
Yeah, like I tried with our friends in the Soho store. Yeah. The website was my biggest surprise that it got sold out in 3 days. Like wow. the big size went away right away. And but something tell me, Alex, that you will have another chance to get it. Might be something around the corner for you next season.
There's so many winks going on right yes. now.
Right? You know, you saved like your Montreal, money. Like you saved your money this time, nice, but okay, you got the occasion to go for it. No worries.
I'm very excited about the Montreal 76. Like for us in Montreal, it's like the retro. Like correct me if I'm wrong, but that retro colorway, the first original colorway, has not come out since then, right? It's like.
Not really. We used to do some SMUs on the 2004 replica for some key accounts like size. But ideally, when we looked back at the shoe with Chris, we decided to redo a sort of remaster version closer to the original, like you know, like just revising the shape of it. So it's not only a facelift; it's a complete redesign, like bring back. And this original colorway, which is like the navy with the blue stripes and the very dark gum color, yes. is the iconic one. Yeah,
I love the toe box on those, like perforated kind of like tooling.
It's the best.
It's very very cool. Yeah, so you guys kind of know, for the listeners, you're getting to know a bit Jean and Paul. I think it's important to mention like that yesterday, like something very special happened, where like Paul was. So I'm running into like, so tomorrow morning as we speak is my day, my official opening date. So I've been working like a crazy guy on this. So Paul was looking to maybe chill a bit with Chris because I was busy with other stuff and he couldn't get my attention. I'm so sorry. So he managed to link up with Chris, but Jean had arrived in the morning. So we decided. I suggested to Jean to tag along with Paul to meet Chris, and then Anna joined you guys, and then we went. You guys went to see Cherry, and then when like, I lost them for literally 3 hours, and then when they came back to the store, both Chris and Paul kind of pulled me on the side and were like, "Yo, this guy is amazing," and I was like. Whoa, nice. And like everyone just had amazing comments. Anna came to me, Cherry told me like he's so sweet, he's so like he has a lot, like you are an encyclopedia for all things and not only originals.
Wait a minute, are we talking about me right
we're
now?
We're talking about you. Yeah. Right. No, and it's and it was like it was crazy for me because I was like, wait, it's my friend. I want to hang out with him.
No, I'm not yours anymore. I know. Who is it?
So we never tell you to your face, but yeah, you're a pretty cool guy.
I like you too.
Yeah.
Come on, marry me.
So
he's taken.
The way it happened, it was really we started walking and we wanted to visit different sneaker shops in Alex's store's neighborhood. So we took them to all the Montreal spots like the Off the Hook and House of Hoops where Cherry works and everything. And Alex, for the 3 hours that we were gone, it was basically us. We maybe only visited three spots.
Yep.
It was basically us walking, stopping and in a circle talking for a good 10-15 minutes and then walking to another area, just stopping, talking for another 10-15 minutes in a circle.
That's awesome.
About sneakers, about randomness, and it would be like we'd pick up a shoe off the shelf and then we'd just say, so what do you think about this? And then everyone would say something. And that was the whole 3 hours.
Amazing. That one sick. Shoe would lead to a whole other conversation about
Absolutely.
20 other shoes. And then it would just lead to flashbacks of...
But that's what market visit are all about, right? It's not only about looking at one product and, you know, you get to be a bit deeper.
No, it was amazing conversation. It was like a great eye-opening experience for me. And it just felt like just the company that... We were was like we were a bunch of old friends that just came together. It wasn't like there was this awkwardness of we all met literally that day.
Yesterday is when we all met in person.
Yeah.
And you know, for Paul and I, it was the first time in Montreal, and it felt very, you know, organic to hang out.
Yeah,
to,
it was awesome. Yeah.
We were literally on the sidewalk outside of one of the sneaker shops, and there was a large truck right next to us, making this huge noise with its engine, and we just kept talking over the loud sound. We could have walked one block away to get away from the noise, but we were just so into it that it just kept going.
Which is why my voice is gone.
Yeah. And it's funny you talked about that, because at one point I was very annoyed with that noise, and I was saying to myself, are we dumb as fuck? Why are we staying here?
We should move a bit. But it was just like normal, good conversation, so that's why it was so cool. So all this to say is if you ever get the chance to make friends or meet one of these guys, Jean, Paul, Alex, and strike up a conversation about sneakers, it's like it will change the way you view sneakers very simply. And then you start, if you're ever in that spot where you don't know what to do again, like you don't know what to like anymore, you don't know what to hunt for anymore, you don't know what is hot anymore for yourself, talk to these guys and they'll show you a different angle, a different things to look for in sneakers. Because within 5 minutes of these Jean and Paul walking into Off the Hook and picking up a shoe off their shoe shelf and talking about it, I was like, huh? What? And I was like, I gotta talk to Chloe. I got to text Chloe.
And you did.
I did. We got to re-strategize our whole thing.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. So you guys just noticed that Chloe just popped in. We told you it would be seamless.
I told you.
The man walked in and he's joined our podcast. So
Chloe's
in.
Sorry I'm late, guys.
It's all good, dude.
It's good seeing all of you guys and meeting you guys for the first time.
Likewise.
And as Chloe walked in, Jean has been unable to stop looking at his sneakers.
Yes. So I heard that you're the master of shoes, so I decided to bring a pair of shoes that I don't know shit about, hoping that you'd be able to fill me in.
It's not about hope at that stage. It's a nice piece of design. It's a pair of street ball, which is literally some sort of design item from 93 as well, when Dreyfus bought Adidas back after the fiasco with Bernard Tapie. And that shoe and that capsule collection was actually the renew of the brand, and the renew of the brand in especially North America, and having for the first time acknowledging basketball in the streets instead of trying to do basketball just in court and indoor. Mm-hmm. So it's a very nice item, because it was just like, okay, marking the renew of the brand, like reinjecting money into the brand and try to be fresh and a bit more close to the culture. So yeah, it's a very nice item.
Thanks. It's my dad's.
Oh man,
really?
Yeah.
It looks like an original. I know we reissued them, but this one looks like the real deal.
But it has some severe glue stains on it. Like it's
how they did it back in the
probably,
day.
It's probably
the glue yellows over time years, too. Yeah. So
and this would work now, right? Like it looks like
I love it.
The bulky style right now.
It is very 90s. It is like when Peter Moore was like the lead of design at Adidas also. He's the dude who is behind the Jordan, the first Jordans at Nike, and the guy who literally rebooted Adidas with the performance logo and equipment. And he was the lead of all that design back in the day. So they were trying new stuff and having a different approach. And that's a cool shoe because you can tell it's for the street and it's for like durability. You get that massive rubber toe cap on 4 foot, almost like
bulky,
a vulcanized shoe, you know?
While we're on the topic of pulling out shoes and then talking about them, I think Paul had a special surprise for us.
Ooh.
He packed for his trip to Montreal, but he also was so considerate that he packed extra shoes just to bring to the podcast to show us.
Wow. That's awesome.
So the man sacrificed luggage space for display sneakers.
I like that.
No, I usually bring a carry-on luggage because I hate checking bags. I hate waiting for bags. I hate the potential of losing your baggage. It's the worst fear of my life, especially when it's full of shoes.
Yeah.
So I brought my large luggage. I checked a luggage this time. So just so I could bring... And I don't really know why I brought them. I just wanted to bring some random stuff to share with you guys because
I'm
going to Montreal for the first time ever. I'm going to be on the friggin' sneaker podcast. So I need to come correct with something cool, right? So I brought four kind of very random things that probably you guys have never seen before, I hope.
Nice.
Maybe you have, but Jean and me kind of looked through them earlier and he seemed pretty psyched on them.
Hey,
so
I'm like a kid on Christmas.
Okay, nice. Yeah. Nice.
So what we'll do is maybe you'll bring out a shoe. If someone knows a name, we'll say the name. Then we'll give the listeners maybe 2 seconds to just Google the image.
Yeah. Sure.
And then we'll get into it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a mixed bag of stuff, but I'll get into it here. So
dig into the duffel bag here.
Number one, this is a here we go. So this is a lot of people maybe don't know this, but they only know his name from Jordan brand, but Lance Mountain is a amazing skateboarder.
Mm-hmm.
Bones Brigade came up in the 80s, still skates to this day. He skated for Adidas before he ever had a deal with Nike. Obviously, a lot of skaters skated in Jordan 1s in the 80s because that was like a go-to shoe. But he actually had several shoes with Adidas. And this is a Lance Mountain 1. So Google that.
Wow.
Google
and,
it.
And again, like I said, I have roots in skateboarding, and it's very near and dear to my heart. And it's something I'll always do. And I feel that skateboard culture is responsible for a lot of fashion, everything. So this particular pair I got from Lance Mountain himself.
Whoa!
What?
Hey!
I follow him on Instagram. He sells random stuff at random times, and he was just like, hey, I'm selling a bunch of crap. Like, if you want it, like, send me an offer. This is a sample of a Lance Mountain 1 pre-production, 1999. If you pull out the insole, there's a second insole in there that I put in because I didn't want the graphics to wear off, because that's actually like graphics from his skateboards that his son drew when he was a little kid. But it's got the sample tag still in there with the factory and everything on it. So this 1999, it's the tooling is very similar. It's like feet you wear, but because it's a skate shoe, it's flat on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got kind of like Kobe Crazy 8, Kobe 2, Kobe 3 kind of tooling. Very overbuilt, like skate shoes were back then, John.
I had that shoe when I was in high school.
Nice. Yeah.
Nice.
I had this one and the number 3 because, as Paul said, we did several shoes with Lance Mountain. And it's, to me, it's like traveling back in time. Reminds me a lot of memories. When I look at the architecture of the shoe now, I'm like, it's an expensive shoe to bring back because it's a double injected EVA midsole. It's kind of a very organic shape also to master.
It's got adiprene in it.
It has adiprene, like it's what you see on the last
roll. Sport performance.
And what's amazing, it's like we looked at the tag with Paul and I was like, that's the exact same Chinese factory where they used to build T-Mac in the early 2000 as well. Mm. So it's like funny to think that the performance factory was also dealing with action sport from the 90s too. And yeah, it kind of ties back with all the athletes we had, you know, in late 90s with the Gonzalez, Mira. It was the same sort of catalog. It's pretty much the same shoes as well. You know, it's very close in terms of architecture and also aesthetic. It's amazing. It's
I still need a Gons 1 and a Matt Beach 1 if anyone listening has one that they want to get rid of for cheap in size 10.
Maybe you could get them from them directly.
Maybe.
Right?
Ooh. I have a Gons 2, but I don't think Mark Gonzalez, I think he skates everything that he has.
He doesn't keep. Yeah. He destroys everything. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I'll dig into my Santa's backpack here. And
your bag of tricks.
Here's another very obscure...
What?
Yo, that is cool.
This freshness.
So I don't know if you know, you guys met, I've never met him myself, but Yu Ming, you met him at SneakerCon.
Yes, we did.
So he has a website called Freshness Mag, or he did have, I think it got, I don't know if it's been like absorbed by Complex and stuff. I think it still exists. But he went on to create Sneaker News and SneakerCon and everything else. So I have a good personal friend who lives in Hong Kong who is, again, personal friends with Yu Ming, and got these random shoes. When I don't even know if these, maybe this is an embarrassment that never actually happened or if it's something legit, but it is a Freshness Mag. It's called the EQTN. It's a performance basketball, but the absolute best part of it is this is the performance basketball look, and then
no way.
Can I put my mic down?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, hang on.
Do you want me to hold it for you? Oh, you're good. Okay, so what he's no. All right, so Paul is pulling the upper of this off.
Oh my gosh!
Whoa, what? It's a transformer shoe.
So. It becomes a lower cut.
If you Google this shoe, it was a high top like 2 seconds
ago. You can't Google
2 seconds
it. Ago. You will not see this shoe anywhere.
So what we're going to do is we're going to post pictures on Instagram. We're going to shoot some pictures of this. It was a high top 2 seconds ago, and Paul just popped off like the collar.
It turns into a low top.
And it's a low top. And it looks pretty sick.
It's actually so crazy.
The 3M hits.
The bag with the laces says lace for low version.
Whoa, nice. There's specific laces for when it's a low top.
That's it's sick. True. We get some standard at the factories where you have a specific length to respect once the shoe is laced completely. So when you do your knot, it's not like a crazy butterfly that pops out of it.
Double bow.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah, this shoe's got Adiprem Plus. It's got some tech in it, but... Like, again, I don't know who's playing basketball in that, but it's...
Maybe no one. That's the reason why it's
I guarantee
out.
You guys have never seen that before.
No, never.
I've never seen a pop-off collar either.
No, that's crazy. And then the upper is
nobody
kind of like
has
a,
seen that
it's like
before.
A jersey-ish nylon.
Yeah,
upper.
It's sort of a ripstop
fabric.
Yeah. And it's very padded because otherwise, you know, a ripstop is very thin. So it's very... It can be... A casual skateboarding shoe actually it doesn't speak performance like as that logo would say, you know what I mean? It's very confusing as a product.
Okay. Interesting to say the least.
Oh my goodness.
Very cool.
So
very
cool.
Very cool.
So funky. Cool.
All right. Next in the bag.
More in the bag.
I don't know if I'll save my favorite for last here.
Oh, but, what?
Yeah.
Yo. Yes, I knew about this. I knew I was going to bring those.
So I got this quite a few years ago, before they retroed it. I think they retroed it in 2013 as the 20th anniversary. So this is a Dikembe Mutombo 1. It was released in 1993. That is when this shoe is from. So this is a 1993 Dikembe Mutombo OG.
Oh.
The glue is releasing all over it, so you're
not wearing
it.
This, right?
Yeah.
But I've said it before, I don't play basketball. I don't really have too big an interest in basketball, but I remember when this shoe came out. Like, I remember it looked so different, and I love, like, he was from the Congo. He was, like, 7+ feet tall. He had, like, a voice that sounded like gravel. And... And when they relaunched the shoe 4 years ago, they did an amazing campaign for it where he was talking about his
Welcome to the world of Mutombo. Yeah. Something like that.
So this is my house.
It was so good.
One day the world will be your house.
I played basketball against them.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Damn.
In Montreal, they had an NBA game and like a preseason game.
Yeah.
And they invited some people over to play on the court. And we showed up and he was there.
Yeah.
As like the NBA ambassador. And we were playing against, we were representing Foot Locker as our team. And then there was a team of people, they were the developers of the one of the video games. So it was EA Sports guys. And we were like, we played basketball more, I guess. So they needed a bit more help. So Mutombo just joined their team.
Wow.
What was he wearing? Was he wearing his signature shoe?
He wasn't wearing his signature shoe because I would have recognized it. But he was like wearing like this New York Knicks t-shirt. And when he's on the court, you gotta drive on him. So he blocked me with his elbow.
Ooh,
it was like, yeah.
Oh, you played him.
I played
what?
Against. I was on the court.
Was he wearing like, Adidas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was like,
at least
I gotta try to score on this guy.
So he stepped over you.
That's a great story.
Yeah,
very dope.
I love that.
So yeah, I got these off of eBay like I don't know a long maybe 10 years ago.
Wow.
And they were listed as being dead stock, and when I received them, they were not dead stock, and they refunded me my money and let me keep the shoes.
Oh, nice. They're
pretty.
Like they're holding up really well. Like the leather is good.
Yeah. The right shoe, the plastic broke because I had a break in my locker and someone tried to steal them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, that sucks.
And was rough with them because they were.
They don't care as
much
as you.
A thieving jerk.
Do.
Yeah. But yeah, it's not like I can really wear this shoe. It's just something I got because nostalgia, really.
It's good to have.
Yeah,
it's so nice.
It was really cool when they did the retro. I had them. I put them in the store in a display case together, and you could see
the differences.
Yeah, like how close the retro was, but then it had subtle differences and stuff. So, yeah, that's
dope. That's it.
And then finally, this is kind of a. I don't think anyone else will appreciate this as much as I do, but this is one of my all-time favorite sneakers in my entire collection. So it is a Super Skate Low, but it is a friends and family only Tommy Guerrero model.
Wow.
Somehow these slipped under everybody's radar. I don't know how. I've got two pairs of them now, and combined I paid maybe $60.
Crazy. Amazing.
This is the second pair I got, so it's still dead stock. It's got, instead of a trefoil on the heel, it's got Tommy's face and his signature, and then it's got TG kind of embroidered. If you don't know who he is, he was on Bones Brigade with Lance Mountain, so another skateboarder. Came up in the 80s, skated for Pal Peralta, now skates for Real. He, I think, does art direction or something for Crooked with Mark Gonzalez.
And the friends and family aspect of the shoe, was it like super limited? Is that
it was never made available to public, so it was given to skate photographers and other skaters and stuff like that. So again, and it came in a box with sample tags only because it was such a small run. And funny enough, both pairs I've got have come shipped to me from someone in Portland. So
by accident.
It's a beautiful chocolate brown with kind of like a baby pink stripe.
Kay.
And it's I love the Super Skate shoe. It's a
full leather.
Yep,
very cool.
It's kind of got the like campus superstar tooling on it. It's a shoe designed for skateboarding by Adidas that predates a lot of other skate stuff that's been put out. So that's kind of the last one of the
very dope.
That's cool with that leather toe cap here, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they've done the Super Skate Volk. There's like a Super Skate Vintage. Again, it's the same kind of lines of lots of the kind of silos that Adidas plays in.
Yeah, I like the mid version as well. Like,
yeah.
I think it's one of those shoes we should bring back and be proud of, because in the 70s, that was one of the few shoes we threw in the market that were really speaking like subculture and skateboarding.
Yeah, it's a full-on skate shoe that Adidas put out in the 70s, which is pretty amazing.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
Definitely have not seen. Well, I've seen the Mutombo, but those are the three pairs I've never seen before. Or didn't even know about them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the thing with with all brands and all sneakers, there's so many little sub kind of divisions and things like that that no one, and if you're not into weird stuff like this, you may never see it, or may just pass you by, or it gets lost in a sea of other things.
Especially in the 90s, like, we were full on, you know, action sport and skateboarding and experimenting a lot, you know, between footwear and if you got to type the Lance Mountain Adidas shoe, you may like also the Adimatic, all the early Gonzalez stuff as well. It's crazy how over-molded, over-designed those shoes are. It's like full of details.
And then a lot of that kind of era is coming back now. Like Palace just retroed the O'Riordan, which is another, like, it's a lot simpler than these, but it's late 90s skate stuff, and it's timeless. Again, it's got the big fat stripes. It's
the Callis shoe.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not about Osteed Callis, but it's the Callis shoe. Yeah, the O'Riordan was like one of the signature shoe. It's it was actually the little sister of the Adimatic. So okay. In 96, you were having the catalog, and the Adimatic was like the flagship shoe, like the most, one of the most expensive one. And then you were having the Volk version with the O'Riordan, but it was pretty much the same upper with the very bold serrated edge stripes. It's very iconic from that era.
Cool.
I keep going back to the Lance Mountain shoe. I don't know why. I love that heel with that subtle...
There's
Lance
so
Mountain.
Much going on it.
Yeah. Right?
Well, it's the color. For me, it's the color base is like kind of a indigo blue, petrol blue, and it has like orange hits.
In the midsole?
Like, this is such a cool color. Like, I don't know who decided to go with this color. I don't know if this color came out to production actually, but like, just, the row places, like that kind of like crazy 8 inspired Kobe sole. Like,
yeah, that's so cool.
Beautiful. And then when you flip the shoe under, you see like those... two panels of like gum sole underneath, kind of like the alveoles, like it's
and those details are if you want to replicate that shoe now, it would cost a fortune. You have a color, you got double color dam, and it's like you got the solid rubber, and when it switched to the color, the gum, semi-translucent gum, to do an outsole that is solid color and semi-translucent within the same outsole, it's like a detail that costs a fortune nowadays.
Damn. Oh. It's good to have the insider's look on that too.
Yeah. So on the same tone, Jean, when you're designing or like working on like the reissue of a sneaker, you're not just looking at the aesthetics of it or like the materials that go into it. You're actually factoring in costs, or does that happen? Is that how it goes?
Well,
or? Probably after.
Well, I wish you wouldn't perceive me like that though. But reality is, I just get back from very long meetings last week on some upcoming stuff we are preparing in my current job. And it was costing meetings. So my mindset didn't really change in a few days. And yeah, it was like very serious meetings. And it's like not the most glamorous part of the industry to get exposed to. Mm. But you got, you know, to be a good designer, you got to unfortunately be aware of all that. Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's, I see how like, yeah, it's a serious part of like the process of creating a shoe, but it's not just cost for the company, it's also cost for the consumer or the people that you want to get the shoes in the people's hands. And if cost goes up, then price necessarily probably goes up, and then you won't be able to reach as many people.
Yes and no, because like most of the time when you have a brief, you know, like the price are set up and it's difficult to change the pricing because it's based on very serious analysis, you know? So most of the time you have a margin to reach. It's more about the margin. So if you have to spec down your design, if it really affects the perceived quality or the experience of a shoe, then you can keep your detail if your product manager is nice with you. But then your margin gets lower, so you get less profit.
Gotcha.
But the retail price is one of the elements that it's difficult to affect.
But I find, I guess if you're, it's all part of the process where, of course, you would like to put all the best materials, like the most expensive elements in every shoe, but it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, you know, it's when you're a creative mind, like every creative fellas, you kind of have that sometime, that Frankenstein sort of megalomaniac mood where you want everything you generate to be the best shit ever. But sometimes you need to pick your hero. Also, in order to answer to your question, it's like you need to pick a hero, otherwise you over-design your stuff and you need to let it go too. So sometimes you get to face some reality. But if you're surrounded by good fellas and if you start to be a bit wiser as a designer, you can still keep the integrity of your product without over-designing or make a little piece of monster out of it.
That makes sense.
Yeah, like a lot of the retros of like high-performance shoes, it's not a high-performance shoe anymore. No one's using a ZX8000 for running or an equipment support for running anymore, and it's not the intended purpose of the shoe, so it doesn't need, correct me if I'm wrong here, but it doesn't need all the same densities of foam and maybe all the crazy tech that it used to have.
Yeah, we hope at Adidas that people make really the difference between the trefoil label and the performance label. So, you know, some of those shoes or retros are used to be amazing, you know, equipment for sports, but now it's like more getting into a cultural aspect or streetwear field, let's say.
You mentioned picking a hero for like when the design of one shoe, and when you started working on the Gazelle, you had different versions to pick from to start the design, right? Because the Gazelle, you mentioned that it comes back every several years.
It comes and goes.
It's
something that is impossible to catch.
Fluid concept.
If you see a pair of Gazelle, just grab it and no. But yeah, I mean, the design process around the retro is something that really thrilled me when I was at Originals. I think if you get a chance to work for Originals as a designer, and of course, if you're passionate about the brand and the history of the brand, which you get to, what's beautiful, it's like you can bring back shoes from your childhood or very impactful and, you know, old school icons. And on the other hand, you can also design more out the blue progressive design that are tying to the collective memory of the brand. So it's a nice balance between both worlds. For the Gazelle, yeah, we get back to the archives. Martin, if you're listening to me, I love you. Martin is our watchman in the archives in Germany. He's amazing. He's ultra passionate. He has a real like archivist background, like art archives background.
What?
That's his stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, it's crazy. He used to work at the Porsche Museum. He's from Stuttgart. He used to archive old school Porsches as
Damn.
Well.
Damn.
And now he takes care of shoes. Imagine. So it puts your stuff in perspective. But Martin is amazing. He's really passionate. When you meet people like that, you feel blessed. So we got to the archive. We got to review an assortment of Gazelle through decades. And, you know, like, the one I grew up with was the Britpop Gazelle from the 90s. So it made sense. Like, all the Oasis, Jamiroquai, some Blur vibes out of it. It made sense for us to bring back the 90s version, or at least an early 90s. That is slightly bulkier than the Gazelle OG we had the early seasons. And that's how it went. You know, it made sense for us because it was speaking and to a more mature consumer. And on the other hand, we were checking that the market evolved. Like, people aren't scared to wear slightly bulkier shoes or shoes that got a little bit more of material on it. So that's the reason why that Gazelle got picked.
And is there like other versions of the Gazelle that you like specific parts of other versions of the Gazelle that you were like, I really want to incorporate this as well in the reissue of this one, but...
No, yes and no. I'm a purist, and I got lucky to work with a team that is, when it comes to retro, is the same, and it's like, you know, very maniac when it comes to details. When it was about that Gazelle, we really wanted it like as close as possible, millimeters by millimeters, like to do a proper replica. Until the point, like the crazy guys from England, all the Manchester fan base for Terrace, bought the shoes and compared it to the real retro ones that they had from '93. And they were sending me messages on Instagram saying that's the best release, it's best retros. We don't even see the difference. And it's not even showing off saying that. It's like, I can show you the text messages, like the guys like are really taking a caliber, a ruler, and measuring the stuff.
Wow.
And of course, there is other variants of Gazelles that I loved, like the Made in Canada one, like for you guys, that got like that deer logo on the flip side of the tongue because it was made out of deer suede.
Oh, so man.
It's kind of insane.
Wow. No way.
Yep. And you have the Chamois, which is actually the Made in France Gazelle. But for some reason, you know, frictions or legal stuff, they changed the name just to piss the German people.
So if you mentioned people messaging you to give their like review of the shoe that you just produced, aside from that, is there another way for like a designer to gauge a successful launch or a successful release, or to gauge maybe things that you guys need to adjust? Or
yeah, well, you know, the like everything and everyone, and certainly every brands, there is always a way to do a better job, to be better at what we are doing, and to get to know better the audience. I believe that right now as a brand we are pretty on fire. I believe also that as a designer, the fact that we work closer with communication and activation helps, because we are at the very beginning of the process, and comms and PR are at the very end. And sometimes, you know, you can of course improve the communication process and bring the raw material of your storytelling. So it helps a little bit the process when it comes to releasing the actual item. I like to talk about item because a lot of my friends are into apparel design. And of course, when we speak about Adidas, we think about footwear first, but it's a bit unfair not to think about the apparel items too. So it's the same for them. And I'd like to give them a little bit of prop.
Shout out to the apparel.
Yeah, for sure.
Nice.
So I have to ask, out of everything you've worked on so far, what is like something that you've been most happy with?
The stuff that I haven't done yet.
I like that. I like that.
Nice.
I like that.
But yeah, I mean, you know, we're talking about the handball top. Mm-hmm. I think this is one of the funniest projects I had to do because it was very close to my heart. You guys saw the winterized product with Atric that Alex is wearing now. We're gonna follow up that franchise with something very surprising for next season. I'm not saying anything because it's still confidential.
That's
but
okay.
I hope you guys will enjoy it.
I'm sure I will.
And that project was a very cool one to do because very unexpected, and I learned a lot by dealing with it. Mm-hmm. And at the farm, we are dealing with some very interesting topic right now, and you may see some stuff in few years, so you'll see.
Very nice. See, that's what I wanted to hear. Get us excited for what's coming.
Because I know, like, everything that he has touched so far,
it's just like
is money to me.
Yeah. It's a fiasco.
so every time, like, I find out about something that he has worked on that I didn't know about, I just go crazier, and it just makes me want to have the shoe even more.
So, and there's so much of it too.
Yeah.
Every day you've learned of a new style that you've worked on, and it's yeah. Like, what? You worked on that?
Like, it's a teamwork, you know, like I was very lucky to have a very strong team in Herzog, and it's like family. It's not even like just colleague. It's like close friends, like Remy, James, Julie are like brother in arms to me, and I don't think I would have done what I done without their help and support. So
it's crazy that through the medium of social media, now we're finally able to put a name and a face on a shoe that's not collaborative with like an artist or like your creator that's like I don't know, a musician or a
an amazing singer.
Huh?
I'm an amazing singer.
Well, no, but I'm sure you are, but it's like it's cool because it has never been Gazelle / Jean Calif. It's like it's been Gazelle, right? And it's cool. We finally put the name on the face.
Yeah, I agree. So one of the amazing things for working for this brand is that no one is too high up to kind of reach out to. And both Alex and I have found that out, that if you have a question, you can just reach out to literally anybody, whether that's someone in the UK, someone in Germany, someone in New York. And everyone is super humble, and they'll get back to you with a response, whether it's John or Gary Aspen or Josh Herr in Portland. Like, it's ridiculous, like, the kind of family feeling you get. Like John talked about, like, working in Germany, it's like he feels like his team is a family. And, you know, I can speak to that. Like, I feel working for this brand, it doesn't feel like you're working for a corporate entity. It feels like a family of people who share the same passion that you do. And it makes it so much more exciting to work for that, where you can just reach out to these creative individuals and find out the inspiration behind things. And it's like they say every original has a story and stuff like that, but it's there's truth in that. Like talking to Jean, you can hear what the inspiration behind products were and what went into, and you can hear it, the passion in his voice when he talks about, like, it was like Christmas for me to get to work on the Gazelle. And it's that kind of those kind of people in the company is what drive it forward. And I think that's why Adidas is sitting where it is right now. It's really, really exciting. And it's really exciting that you can literally any product on the wall, people just come in and look at it, and it's a shoe to them. But if you talk to one of the people in the store, there's so much story behind it.
Yeah, whether you could get so much out of, like, just looking at a product and sharing your own story, whether like it's a design story or just like a personal experience.
It doesn't have to be a collaboration. Like we said, like there's so much like blood, sweat, and tears that goes into everything that if you know those stories, you can share them with people. It creates more value in that product. I mean, I saw your eyes lighting up when you looked at Alex's shoes and you heard the design
the
story behind them.
The name for it.
Yeah. Like your pupil just goes like, and then like widens, and it's just like, now you want to buy that shoe. maybe you'd overlooked it before, but
I'm an easy sell.
The sales pitch. Yeah.
I'm the same way. I'm like a sucker for a story. So if there's any kind of like thing that I can attach to, that's like, I got to have that. Like,
but it's sometimes like storytelling is, again, almost more important than the item, than the shoe itself at the end. That's what it's just a nice, passionate talk when you get to meet people that are on the same page, and it just like feels also like a sort of syndicate or sort of community. You know, that's the beauty of all that at the end.
So for me, my roller coaster ride through this whole identifying of the designers, that how we've kind of switched up the game, and instead of having like superstar artists associated to a sneaker, we kind of describe it by the designer these days, and how important, let's say, the news of signing Kanye West was in my eyes when Adidas signed Mark Dolce, Dennis Dekovic, and Mark Miner. To me, that was more of a game changer. So the roller coaster wire for me is designers have become the, and I know Jean, you have like a different view of this, but like the rock star portion of the shoe, like how important the shoe becomes within like the whole lineup. And so to me, the designers are like, I fanboy over Mark Dolce. So that to me is like, whoa, these designers, big time, big names, very important. And then the roller coaster ride happens when you come into town and I meet you and I'm like, oh my gosh, this Adidas designer is coming into town. And I meet you and you're like very friendly, very like, we become homies. And it's like, superstar back to like regular, not you're a regular guy, but you're not a regular guy.
Dude.
It's just like, I'm like, wow.
That's your way to make a compliment.
A backhanded compliment.
I'm not like
he's just a human being.
I mean, what it does is it takes the shoe from an element of being like, this is something to be revered. And actually, you give me a dimension where I know what the backstory of the shoe is, and that's why I should want it. Like, the reverence would be the hype. Like, a big name's associated with your shoe, so I want it. But instead, you flipped it for me, and you're like, this shoe, I saw this when I designed it, and that's what makes me want the shoe even more. You get it? I find, like, that's why you guys are talking about how important the story is. So, the storyteller, also very important.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, whether it's designers or communication guys, like, everyone is doing a great job. To me, it's more about the people, again, sometime than just the actual product. I got to meet a few days ago Peter Moore, and it really opened my mind, like, the way we just... So we have a friend in common. We have Jack Chassin, who is a friend. Like, Jack is having... In Jack's mind, Peter is like his mentor, which is insane. So I went to Portland. I got to have a chat with Peter Moore, and it was very friendly. And I was the same as you. I was like, that's Peter Moore. He's known for so many things. Each time he works for a brand, we still talk about it 30 years later, and it's still something that is relevant nowadays. And it's like, I was having a little bit of that groupie vibes inside me, but it's not this sort of, you don't want to show that to these sort of characters either, because they wouldn't really appreciate it. They just want an honest, down-to-earth talk. And that's also through those meetings that I realized that it's, again, about people. And he started to talk about amazing anecdotes from behind the scene. And, you know, again, it makes you have a step back from all that potential star system or glamorous perception of what our industry is all about.
That's cool.
You met Peter Moore.
Yeah.
And he's friends with Jacques Chassin. Damn.
It's a French connection.
Yes, that has to be. That has to be. Amazing. Wow. I'm actually so... It's crazy.
Yeah, it just goes to show that, like, everyone's just a person, right? Like, there's no... We kind of elevate people to these rock star statuses, and they're just doing a job, and if you talk to them like a person, they respect that, and they'll talk back to you. And I mean, you can have a good, like we're having right now, an amazing conversation.
Yeah. And Jack is all about that. Like, he's very approachable. He's one of the most humble character I ever met. It's crazy. You know, it's like just one of those fellas that you want to spend hours talking to him, and he's also very keen to mentor people and spend time with them. Like, got so much experience. Dope. It's still amazing to have him on board, though.
So what does he do now? I don't know if we can talk about these things, but I'm assuming he's not designing full time.
No, but he worked a lot on the Porsche design range those last years, and now he's still with us. Like, he works a lot with the creative direction and Adidas Originals as a consultant as well. So it's very precious skill set. Marcus Staller went on retirement a few years ago, but it doesn't stop him to come to the office time to time and say hello as he's living in Herzo. So, you know, some people are just, you know, monuments there, you know.
Amazing. Super dope.
I'm so glad we were all able to sit down and do this. I think it's been a long time coming, especially to have Paul here.
Yes, thank you so much.
Paul, that voice.
Long time listener.
Sounds good, bro. I'm loving it.
Thank you. Sexy.
Yeah.
Bunny Tyler sort of voice, though.
Yeah.
Bunny Tyler.
Okay. Okay. What do you say we wrap things up, guys?
I'm good with that.
Yeah. Like,
the listeners don't know, but we take mini breaks here and there, and we just lose ourselves in like chit-chatting.
Yeah.
So as much as we want to include you in the conversation, I think we want to just wrap it up and save some for next time.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to thank you, Jean, for being here. Paul, thank you for being here. I think just this whole experience of this week is going to be kind of crazy. The opening tomorrow of the store is going to be insane. Alex, we know you've been working your balls off to get this store up and running to your standards, which we know are very high. And I think the whole city is really going to appreciate it, dude.
Hopefully.
Yeah, man. They are. Yeah, man. They are, for sure. But Jean, people want to find you on Instagram or find you on social media. Where can they do so? Where can they follow you at?
Well, if they want to see weird illustrations, they can follow me on my Instagram accounts, like John Kaiser Knight. That's my nickname. It's a bit too long to explain where it comes from, but
off mic we'll ask.
Yeah, I kind of want to know now.
But it's that's if they want to see funky stuff, they can follow me in there though. Yeah,
very cool. Nice. Thank you again.
Thanks so much for being here, guys, to let me into your your podcast, and also I wanted to thank Alex again, because I wouldn't be here tonight without his invitation. So I really feel blessed to be
organic,
in here.
Yeah. Organic relationship we built. I'm very happy you're here.
Thanks.
Cool.
Awesome. Yeah. Paul, if people want to find you on Instagram or social media, where can they do so?
I'm on Instagram. You can find me at IBS negative, all spelled out. That's letter I, letter B, letter S. It's another long story as to why I
want to hear that too.
Oh man,
my stories.
And it's probably pretty funny, but that's where I'm on. If you want to see pictures of my children and poorly shot
and bumper stickers,
my shoes,
bumper stickers,
amongst other crap I find funny, go check it out.
And you can also find them at the Adidas Original Store in Vancouver.
Definitely come say hi. Don't be shy.
Back in business November, December 7th,
we reopen. So it's going to be big.
Excited. Nice. Excited. Super excited. Chris, where can people find you?
You can find me at Christopher.chu.
And Chloe, where can people find you?
You can find me at Clarel.
And Alex, thank you so much for having us in your house tonight, dude. Where can people find you?
The people can find me at Suji Cypher Sons, or you can come at the store and come and see me at 1238 St. Catherine West, Montreal, Quebec, Canada, H3G1P1 514-315-9546 if you have any questions.
That's the easy hotline, by the way.
Download the confirmed app.
Exactly.
Download the confirmed app.
Yo.
We're done.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Sneaker Podcast. If you want to get us on Instagram, you can do so at the Sneaker Podcast, on Twitter at the Sneaker Pod. Don't forget to download us on Podbean, iTunes, Google Play Music, and I got something in the works to get us out there a little bit further. But you can follow me on Instagram at On Air with Mike D. We'll catch you back here next time with another episode of the Sneaker Podcast. Until then, have a great day. Have a great night. Later.
Peace.
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 Bye.
Bye-bye.